Oh, hi. I'm Low and Key. That's my name today because I've been watching Lock and Key today. But you can call me Lola if you want. This is Scannerdrome. I'm here with my wonderful friend Jason and my other wonderful friend Cybernaut. And we are going to talk about mostly entertainment, maybe some other stuff, huh?
Yes.
Right, what are we going to start with?
Oh, well, yeah. You brought up Lock and Key. Let's start there. I heard of this, but I don't even know what it's about.
It's based on a graphic novel by Joe Hill, aka Stephen King's son, and somebody else. Nobody knows this somebody else because we just everyone thinks Joe Hill, Stephen King's son. Hey, and in fact, the graphic novels are on sale on Amazon. Excuse me. Maybe even Comixology. It's on Netflix. I think it's like 9 episodes. I'm on episode 4, and it is about a family who is from Seattle, but the father was from a small, creepy little town in Massachusetts, not Maine, interestingly enough. It's Massachusetts. And the father is murdered in a very gruesome way that the family all experiences. It's really horrible. That's not much of a spoiler because you see that like in the first few minutes. And that's even in the description, you know. So they decide, for some reason, the mother decides, hey, let's move back to his creepy ancestral home and live there. So they move back to the ancestral creepy home, and it's magical and haunted, and there's tragedy, and there are keys that do different magical things. And every episode has, you know, shows you the different things that a different key can do. And it's some of it's a little hokey when they start getting into the fantastical part of it, because it's all like, oh, look at all the color and the sparkly. Let's see what our effects budget is. Look, this is all our effects budget in one thing. But it's
Handful of
interesting,
glitter.
huh?
A handful of glitter thrown across
Exactly. It's all
the
like, ooh, wow, look at this. Ooh, like the 4th of July, every episode. But it's got a lot of people I like. The guy who played Ben Mason in Falling Skies, he plays the oldest kid.
That was actually a really great show. I
I
loved
loved
Falling Skies.
that show. And it was so funny because I've been watching this thinking, God, that guy looks familiar. And I finally went on IMDb and I was like, no wonder I watched him for freaking 4 years on Falling Skies. I can't believe I didn't figure it out. And the little kid, the younger brother, he was Georgie in the movie It, which makes me sad. I'm like, Georgie. Oh, and that was a Stephen King movie. Interesting. Conspiracy. Ooh.
6 degrees of Stephen King.
Exactly. It's nepotism. The mother, I went on IMDb, of course, and she was in NCIS. She played Gibbs's first wife, Shannon. So I recognized her from that. Aaron Ashmore is in it from Killjoys. He plays the dead father's brother. And oh, Steven Weber, who played X on the X Files, he's the principal at the school the kids go to. But
Interesting. Since he was in the remake of The Shining.
Oh, I forgot he was in that. Okay, yeah. Okay. So lots of cool people. It's kind of a spooky vibe. It's a little bit like Haunting of House Hill or the
Hill House.
Haunting
Haunting of Hill House.
Hill House?
Yeah.
Hill House Haunting.
The
Haunting of
Haunting
Hill
of Hill House.
House Hall Hitting Hat. It's kind of like that, but not as tragic. I mean, you know, it doesn't make you just bawl in despair or anything. So it reminds me of that. It's got that kind of creepy vibe.
So
Very, huh?
how far into it are you?
I'm on episode 4, so I'm not even halfway through.
Have you figured out who the keymaster is?
No. And I don't know who the what was the other, the key master and the
Was the gatekeeper and the keymaster?
gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Well, Rick Moranis is one of them, and he's actually gonna be on, what is it, Honey, I
You
Shrunk
like,
the Kids or
yeah,
something?
you like my
Shrunk.
segue?
Shrunk. Which reminds me of Shrek, and I'm like, Shrek? They're redoing
Honey, I
Shrek?
Shrek the kids.
I know.
Direction D
Oh, there
Plus.
you go.
Yeah.
There you
Well, it'd
go.
be
There's a
nice,
Disney
huh?
spinoff right there. Honey, I Shrek the Kids,
You
where Rick
turn them all
Moranis is.
green.
Yeah, it creates a thing that turns all of his kids into little ogres.
Yep.
That'd be
That's
awesome.
okay. I mean, Cameron Diaz was happy that way, so it's cool. But yeah, I like it. It gets a little hokey sometimes, and it's really kind of dragging its heels because it's really going into what all the different keys do, and then you have a sub story with a woman who seems like she died on the property, but she's not really dead. But it's taken a long time to really get to what's going on with all these keys and what made the father leave and all this stuff. So.
You know what? That's something I like about the Magicians. Lately, if you've watched this season, they like set out to do something, and then they cut out all the in between, and they're there.
Good.
They're
I
doing
think
it,
I would like that.
and it's like it goes along so fast now, and it's like, wow, this is kind of cool, different. It's not dragging, it's not dragging the plot line very much.
Yeah, they need a little bit of this in this. It actually a little bit reminds me of the Magicians because of all the magic and sparkly and all that stuff. But I kind of wish they would pick up the pace a little bit. They're kind of getting lost in their own wonder and wowness of it. I still like it.
That was something that I tried to pick back up with Magicians, and at some point I'm like in season two somewhere, but I didn't finish season two, I don't
I love
think.
that show. That's one of my favorites on right now.
I don't hate it. I mean, I don't dislike it. I really need to get back to watching that.
It's just
But you happen to mention the lady on the property that's not dead, but they thought she was dead, but she's not really. And that makes me think of the movie that we watched a couple well, week before last, Parasite.
Oh, I liked that. Now, I think Knives Out was better.
I haven't seen
That was
Knives Out
awesome.
yet.
They reminded me of each other because it's a real ne'er-do-well family and they get themselves in all kinds of crazy situations. So they reminded me of each other, but I did think Knives Out was better. It was just stylistically better. But I still liked Parasite. So, and I'm glad it won. It shook things up.
I'm so still on the fence with Parasite.
Really?
It was I was it was Oh, what's that movie I like to reference here? The From Dusk Till Dawn. You've seen that,
Yeah,
right?
long
Tarantino. It was
time
a
ago.
Tarantino. It was one of
That
those
wasn't
movies
Quentin
where,
Tarantino,
yeah, it was
was it?
Tarantino. Yeah.
Quentin
And
Tarantino and the guy that did Sin City, they both worked on it.
oh, that's right. Okay.
And my issue with that movie is it was a great movie, like in the first part where you had this, family getting kidnapped and they're driving in the RV and then suddenly out of nowhere, it's a completely different story because now there's vampires. It's like what happened? It was such a good movie and now there's vampires and it's ridiculous.
It was out there.
That's
Yeah,
what that was what's good about it. It changed its pace. It threw you through the surprise. I was like,
I did not see vampires. It was no hint of vampires. It was completely unexpected.
and I see why I was confused about Quentin Tarantino. I just looked it up. Robert Rodriguez directed it,
Yeah.
but Quentin Tarantino co-wrote it. So that's
Yeah.
why I was like, Quentin Tarantino, he didn't do that.
Yeah. But Parasite for me was the same way. I love the like the oh man, the first scene or scene the first we're gonna call it scene the first third of the show, right? I was all on board. Like you had these two families, like you instantly knew like in the first 20 or
Bad
30
news.
seconds of a character coming on screen, you knew what they were about. You just had a feel like the dad, right? And
Bad
it's
news.
like, yeah, it's like, it's just leave the windows open. We'll get free fumigation. And I'm like, okay, I understand this guy. I get this guy. I understand this guy. And
Grifters, basically.
yeah, and the sister, with their mad like document hacking skills. And it's like I instantly knew what each one of those characters was in the show, right? Mm-hmm. The character building was like right there.
Instant,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And you kind of knew who you were going to be watching here and knew kind of what to expect from them. And mm-hmm. they didn't disappoint, I got to say that. But then there was that middle section where it kind of got a little interesting, where the twist was, like, mm-hmm. you know, where they're, like, hanging out. So I'm going to try not to ruin this movie.
But... Well, I'll just put it. We'll put in the notes that we're talking about. We all saw it, right?
I didn't see it.
You haven't seen it?
I'm not really interested in it.
Really? Oh, it's good.
So it's, let me set it up. It's a
spoilers.
Spoilers.
I'm not really gonna spoil. I'm trying not to.
You can spoil
about it. I want to talk about it.
Spoil it. Because I'm not gonna see it.
Spoil it.
So you've got two families. It was the Parks, mm-hmm. and what was the other?
The Grifters. I don't remember their name.
Oh man, that's terrible, isn't it? We only remember the rich people. So you've got two families. One is. Way upper class. The other is like, you know,
they literally live in a basement.
Yeah, they live in a sub apartment that's slightly below street level, where they get to watch, you know, on the daily a guy
urinating
mm-hmm. on the street lamp outside their house. Mm-hmm. It's very cramped. They're very poor.
They got roaches.
They're folding mm-hmm. pizza boxes, yeah. and that's how they're getting by. Mm-hmm. And they fall into this fortunate moment where a friend of the son's is...
Min, I remember that, Min.
Huh? Min.
Yeah. M-I-N, his name was M-I-N, I remember that.
He's going to study abroad, and he currently has a tutoring gig, mm-hmm. tutoring this rich person's kid.
The English. Daughter, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, and he's kind of got a crush on her, and he doesn't want...
He's got a crush on the guy's sister.
Huh? I thought he had a crush on this on the one he was tutoring.
No, remember?
That's why he wanted his friend there, so that he didn't have to worry about somebody moving in.
Mm-mm. Remember, he was talking about, I may be wrong, but he was talking about the guy's sister, and he said, "I'll come back." When she goes to college, I'll come back and we'll date because she's in high school. I'm pretty sure.
I think he was talking about the one he was tutoring because he wanted to get in with the rich family, right?
You might be right.
So anyway, he basically passes, you know, a good recommendation on for his friend to come walk in the door and tutor this rich kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of becomes a thing because the family has this plan of how they're going.
It's all their fault. It's all the family's fault.
They basically are trying to worm their way into this.
It's chain migration, Jason.
Yeah, it is. So you get the tutor in the door, and then suddenly we need what was the daughter?
It wasn't suddenly. They sabotaged the people who work there so that the jobs would become free, and they would just coincidentally recommend.
Oh, by the way, I happen to know someone.
And
so this rich family has almost the whole family working for them, but doesn't know that any of the poor family is related.
They all make up their characters. They're all characters, you know. Like the daughter, she decides she's an art therapist.
Art therapist, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
She has this very posh accent.
And the little kid, I thought, oh my God, I was like, oh, the jig is up. The little kid's smelling him. And he's like, they all smell the same. He smells like the driver, too.
Yeah, like, they all smell like a sub-basement apartment.
Yeah, they smell poor. That's the problem. They smell poor.
He was smart, and he was right. He was absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah. How did the father describe it? It was like boiling a wet rag. Or rotting garbage, or
like, and what are they gonna do? That's where they live. They can't help smelling like that.
Yeah, and so that's like the first act.
And at this point, it's still kind of comical, but it doesn't stay comical.
Yeah. So at some point, the rich family decides they want to go camping.
Yeah.
And they're all going to leave the house. Mm-hmm. And the poor family decides they're just going to, like, kick it in this rich house. We got the sparkling water, and we've got the booze, and we've got good food, and we got a great view. And they're just, like, kicking it.
And, you know, if they hadn't done that, if they'd just been grateful for their jobs and stuck to what they were doing, none of the rest of the movie would have happened.
Yeah. And this is where everything kind of falls apart, because, you know, when you see that in a movie, you're like, oh, they're going to get caught. You know, that this is where the whole twist is going to happen.
Yeah.
But see, that's where I thought it was freaking awesome, because the twist they throw at you is not what you...
I was not expecting that at all. I was like, what?
I know, that was like the Quentin Tarantino suddenly there's vampires moment, where you're like, what? The housekeeper? What?
Huh? I know. It's like, I mean, I would have never thought that. Well, it turns out it turned on them, because they're not the only grifters.
No, because
the housekeeper, she had her own secret, and it's kind of that thing where they butt heads because they both have secrets and they don't want to tell each other secrets, and then they come at ahead and it goes bad.
Yeah, it goes Sam Peckinpah bad.
It goes very bad.
It gets really
crazy. There will be blood.
Yes, at the very end, and it's like, I didn't, and that's where I'm kind of, I think I've tried to unpack what I feel about this, because I loved it up through that second act. Mm-hmm. And then the third act was just so chaotic and violent. And
very violent.
Like, okay, I did not see any of that coming. But I think what happened, mm-hmm. what I'm telling myself is, up until the end of that second act, or the middle of the second act, mm-hmm. the dad always had a plan. Everybody had a plan. And he even says, the only plan that cannot fail is to not have a plan.
Right. Yeah, they said we could just not have a plan, then it won't fail. No, that's a horrible plan. You need a plan.
So I think all up until the point where they just didn't have a plan anymore and they were just going to wing it, that's when things went horribly, horribly, horribly south.
Because they weren't expecting the twist. And see, all this time, they thought they were in control.
Yeah.
They were the ones who was doing this masquerade. And they were the ones who were the perpetrators of everything. And the poor rich family were just kind of naive and just going along and had no idea. But then the housekeeper switched it up and took control. And they didn't know how to manage.
Yeah.
And that's why, hey, crime doesn't pay, people. I think that was the lesson. Don't F with other people, because they'll turn around and F back with you. They'll F you up. Because they did so many tricks to get the employees out of there. Something was bound to come back at them.
And this is very much a movie with no happy endings. Everybody you see in this movie is adversely affected by the decisions that are made throughout the movie.
It turned bad.
And
in a good way.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a get the popcorn moment movie where you're just
what's like, the twist?
You want us to tell you?
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you. All right, so like we said, they sabotaged all the employees, so they got fired, and they would, you know, insert their own family in. So basically, they were all living off this rich family. Well, they stay over while the family's gone camping, and they're drunk as hell and just carrying on, and there's a knock at the door. And it's the former housekeeper who they got fired. The former housekeeper had lived there before the rich family lived there. She had been there with the previous owner who had actually built it. So she knew it very well. So she's knocking on the door. And she's like, please, I forgot something. Please let me in. And the new housekeeper, the mother, is like, oh, whatever. Come on in. So the old housekeeper rushes in, goes to the back, and opens up a secret entrance to a bunker downstairs, a huge, like the whole span of the house, a bunker that's underneath there that the Park family did not know about. Turns out her husband has been living down there for 4 years because he borrowed money from loan sharks and they came a calling and he couldn't pay it. So he's been hiding out. So ever since she's been fired, he's been down there with no food or anything. So she came to take care of him. Well, so everything went bad. It was okay for a while, but then the kids were listening at the door and they fell down the stairs. And how did it go bad? I don't remember what happened next. Do you remember, Cy?
So the housekeeper and the husband, her husband, had them. They were basically gonna screw them over. They had them. How was it that they actually had them?
I don't remember how the tables turned, because I remember they had tied up the grifter family and making them dance and stuff. I don't remember how they turned the tables on them.
Well, because they knew their secret. I mean, that was their leverage, was they knew their secret, and therefore we're going, you're going to, perform for us, do our little deeds, or we're going to tell.
And okay.
Yeah, be saving the day. But then again, they couldn't see, that was the thing, is they couldn't really do that because the other family, the grifter family, they knew about the husband in the basement. Husband
being down there, yeah. And the husband couldn't really leave because he was wanted by all the loan sharks.
And you know what? And speaking of the husband down in the basement, I thought it was a genuinely brilliant touch that because I had to go back and watch the first part of the movie again. Like anytime anybody walked down the hallway, right? The lights would come on.
Yeah. And that was him.
And it was, and nowadays you don't really think about that. You just think it's a sensor in the hallway or whatever.
Motion sensor, yeah.
But not in this house. It's the husband down in the basement. He hears you walking, so he turns the lights on for you.
That's his way of thanking the family, even though they don't know he's staying there. He's like thanking them for letting him stay there. He bumps his head against the light to turn it on as they walk. It's crazy. And that's also what helped the little boy. It was the little boy when he was camping outside. He noticed, the husband doing Morse code. Who was it? The husband doing Morse code?
No, that was later. That was towards the end of the movie where the dad was.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so after everything went bad, the husband, meaning the grifter family father, he went down there and lived down there because he was wanted for murder.
Yeah, and now you've given it all away. Yeah, it's a good movie. I don't know if you'd ever want to see it more than once.
Probably not.
I kind of want to see it again just to kind of rehash it.
Put everything together.
Yeah, I thought it was a really well made movie. The set design was fantastic. The acting was fantastic. Even though you have to read it, the scripting was really good. I can't really complain about the film other than it takes these really sharp angled sideways movements that just completely, I mean, you're on a roller coaster, but you can't see the track in front of you. You don't know where you're going next.
I was not expecting what happened. I mean, I knew somehow something would happen, but I had no idea it would be that. Oh, and there was another line that when you think back, it's funny. Because at one point, the rich father is complaining. He hates pretty much everybody who doesn't fall in line or whatever. And he's complaining about the former housekeeper. And he said, she would eat for two.
Yeah, yeah.
She was bringing food down to her husband.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But that also shows you, I mean, the rich family were so naive and so blind.
Yeah, they're rich, so they're gullible. That was another line in the
And it, I mean, the wife, it's her own dang fault, because when she was interviewing the son, who was the first one to get a job, she said, "I don't care about documents. I don't care about any of that. I just want to know that you'll be good with my daughter." So she opened it up when she said, "I don't care about documents." So, I mean, she kind of asked for it.
Yeah.
And the husband was clueless. All he cared about was working at Samsung or wherever the heck he worked. I don't know. And the daughter was just kind of, eh. The son was smart. Of course, now he's traumatized for life, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. Anybody that survived that
massacre
experience was, yeah, traumatized.
Yeah, traumatized. Oh man, it's definitely a black comedy.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would. I would call it that—a black comedy. There you go.
I'm still disappointed there weren't any actual parasites. But...
I'm still trying to figure out which set of characters were the true parasites.
Well, I think that's part of the point.
Yeah.
I mean, who's sucking off of whom, you know? Because the rich family, you know, they suck off the work of everybody else. And, of course, the housekeeper and her husband were sucking off the parts for years, and they had no idea.
I think the only thing that would have made it better is if we found out that the driver was actually the son of the... Because that would have been ironic, right?
Wait, the driver was the son of who?
Oh, the housekeeper.
Oh, yeah, that would have been interesting.
The original housekeeper, yeah. Same grift, different family. Right?
That's a good idea, yeah. It could, and maybe the husband had originally been somebody, groundskeeper or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
That would have been funny. Maybe that was just a bit too much, though.
Circular logic. You know, it's like history repeating, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And now I wonder what happened to the rich wife, because you know she can't take care of herself. You know she can't. I don't know if she had enough money. Maybe she went back to her parents. I don't know.
Oh, well, she would have inherited everything, so.
Well, but I mean, when you, okay, I think about stuff like this. The house was probably mortgaged. So if you sell it, you're not going to get that much for it, just your down payment. And, you know, he's dead, so he doesn't have a job anymore. So she has no income from that.
Right?
Maybe. Yeah, probably. I would hope. I don't know about it. I don't know. Yeah. It's just weird.
Her son's going to need some definite art therapy.
He's going to need a lot. And he's hyper. He needs a lot. Yeah. And, you know, even if he had life insurance, that doesn't last forever. She's going to have to invest it or something if she wants an income.
Has anybody been watching Briar Patch?
I watched the first episode and then I kind of forgot about it.
The second episode is better than the first episode.
Okay, really? Good.
But it's still.
I'm not of that. I like the first episode better than the second.
Really?
I kind of feel like it's dropping off in interest for me because
I thought the second episode actually had more to it than the first episode. I was so bored in the first episode. I was like, oh, this isn't Sam Esmail. This isn't Sam Esmail's style. This isn't written by Sam Esmail. This is not what I thought. It's Twin Peaks meets... Twin Peaks,
exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Twin Peaks meets Tarantino, sort of.
Yeah, a little bit.
But, I mean, I watched the second episode because that came out like the day after the first episode. For archive, and you know, I like that better than because the story moved a little farther, but still, I'm just like, you know, 10 episodes. I hope they don't, you know, make it more than that.
Yeah,
it needs to be more of an anthology, maybe. If they do,
I don't know that I'm even,
I think just tell the tale and be done with it because I don't know. It's quirkiness to it. Like in the second episode, the elevator doors open on this like hallway in the hotel and it's interesting looking. And it's like, oh, that'd be kind of cool to go explore. But she doesn't. She just looks at it like, that's odd. And then goes to her And it's like, yeah, that's like a Twin Peaks moment. It's like, oh, that's just there. It looks interesting, but you'll never know anything about it.
Weird for weird's sake.
Yeah.
The I hate. Things like the everybody calls her Pickle because her last name's Dill.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, it's a bit obvious.
Yeah.
And then she got
it tries.
She got the car blew up in the first episode and she was knocked out. And in the second episode, she was knocked out. It's like, whoa, two episodes, one after the other, and she gets knocked out at the end of both of them. Sort of. It's like
rough time for her.
Can't we?
It's a bit much.
I think her sister that died was more interesting than her, though.
That was the thing, is I was really into the sister.
Yeah.
Starting out.
We only got 5 minutes of her.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Did they do any flashbacks with the sister?
Not so far.
They should.
I don't think she's in anymore. I think she's only in that one episode.
They should do. I hate flashbacks, so it's funny that I'm saying this, but I think we would get a better sense of her character if they had some flashbacks. Because we don't really know anything about her, but everybody's like, oh, she was great. Oh, I was in love with her. I wanted to marry her. And maybe later we don't know her.
Yeah, we're picking up little bits and pieces as, you know, as Pickle goes through the motions of figuring things out.
Ah, okay. It's nice seeing, I blanked on her name. What's her name?
Chick from Daredevil.
Yeah, what's her name? I blanked on it. I know her name. I've known her name for 20-something years.
Chick from Sin City.
Yeah, her.
Rosario Dawson.
It's nice seeing her. Thank you, Rosario Dawson. Any other time I could know her, I would remember her name, but not now.
I was going to say Chick from Clerks 2 next.
But... Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. I'm 20 years I've known who she is. So it was nice seeing her. I like her. And she's really good in this. I like the way she dresses.
Well, I'm going to give it probably another episode or two, and I'll see if I'm going to keep watching it or not. But it's 10 episodes. If it doesn't get too horrendous, I'll probably just watch it because it's only 10 episodes.
Honestly, I think...
I have so much to watch, huh?
I think for USA, Dare Me is the best show on USA right now.
You know, I've been recording it. I watched the first episode because the coach was actually in Scream, the TV series. So she's gone from being a high school student to a coach. And I watched the first episode. I watched up until the cheerleader saw her cheating and was like, and I was like, oh God, is this what it's going to be about? This is stupid.
No, it's good. It's really good. It's got the acting is all stellar acting, and then the way it's shot with the purples and blues and the difference. All the scenes have these really cool colors to them and stuff. I'm like, it's one show I thought, I tuned in just to watch the first episode because it seemed sort of intriguing. And then I was like, huh, I actually like this. This is pretty cool.
Well, maybe I'll go back. Cause I just got to the point where she was caught kissing the guy in the car. And I was like, lame. I don't, I'm watching a show about girls being like, kick.
And it goes on from there though. It's I'm still waiting. I think in this next episode, someone gets murdered. Finally, and I'm like,
that's what I want. I'm like, I don't need to watch a show about girls getting catty with each other. That's that's everywhere else. I want give me some murder. I want Riverdale.
It's just really well done, though. I enjoy it.
All right, I might go back. I still got them recorded.
It's a good one.
Okay, what else? All right, well, I haven't seen any of the other three things on here.
What is the one? Wait, what is else on here? Oh, Honey Boy was good.
That was with Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. It's basically based on his life story. Okay. So he plays his own dad in it. And it was pretty good. It was I think that Shia LaBeouf was robbed in this Oscar season because Honey Boy and the Peanut Butter Falcon was better than any of the Oscar movies up there, I think.
Well, you didn't see Parasite, so how would you know?
Now, Parasite was good.
Well, look, I saw Joker, and it was worse than I thought it was going to be, and I wish I hadn't seen it now. So.
Oh, you didn't like Joker? I didn't watch it.
I thought it was a horrible movie. It was just it normalized mental illness to the point where killing if you're mentally ill is okay now.
Yeah, because you're a victim of society.
It's okay. Everything's okay. You know, let's root for this guy.
Jesus. Poor guy. I mean, he was traumatized. He had no other choice. Yeah, we don't need that.
Well, yeah, but by the same token, Honey Boy, Shia LaBeouf should be, some kind of master criminal at this point because, man, what a rough childhood that is.
Yeah, he had a rough childhood. He definitely did. That's what he has. He was diagnosed with PTSD and everything because of what he went through with his father. And it when it starts out and he's getting arrested and everything and going to jail, I'm like, oh, that happened in Georgia. That's when he was working on a movie in Georgia here.
And I still remember, I don't know if it's the same time, but he walked into a CVS in Savannah and like tried to rob them and stuff. And I think I went into that CVS actually.
But yeah, I mean, it's a well shot movie. It's good, and he plays his dad. It's just like, wow, it's like he is messed up. But I mean, it's really good acting and everything. And it's an adult movie, so it probably didn't get
Yeah, I gotta give him props for like the first 10 or 15 minutes. I was not seeing him as his dad. Like, I mean, I was seeing him as like within 10 or 15 minutes, I was like, okay, that's Shia LaBeouf's dad. That's not Shia LaBeouf anymore.
And at the end, during the credits, they show pictures of Shia and his dad, and his dad is like, wow, that's
it's pretty spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did his dad do to him?
Well, his dad was he was kind of like a loser, and he was basically being paid by him as a child actor, but he was sort of violent towards him and everything and put him down. And
his dad didn't have a great childhood either. We kind of get that too. So it's one of those things where, the poor family upbringing is kind of passed on down to your children, sadly.
That is sad.
But, he's like, giving his kids smokes.
Marijuana,
yeah.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
it's just a lot of inappropriateness. Oh man, the hookers across the way.
when the girl, the young girl, and the kid were like close, I was like, this is kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, because she's a little too old for him.
Yeah, she's probably like 16, 17, and he's probably like 12, 13.
Yeah.
It just seemed kind of like, whoa, wait. And then it goes on for a while, and it's like, okay, we can cut away from this now. I get it. But then they never slept together or anything like that. So it was like, they were just comforting each other because she came from, across the hotel. It was like one of those outdoor hotels. She came from a pretty bad living too. So,
but I going into this movie, you had mentioned it in chat, and that's why I watched it. Going into it, I had no idea that this was actually, written by Shia LaBeouf as his backstory. And I was thinking, like, partway through the movie, wow, that's very specific. this must have happened to somebody at some point, because, boy, that is very, very specific. And there you go. There you have
it. It's an Amazon Prime movie. It came out in the theater, and now it's on Prime. I think Amazon's doing really good with these higher-end movies, like the one we watched where he was an alcoholic and and a drug addict, and the Steve Carroll was the dad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Amazon's really doing some high end.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, I think they're doing some high end stuff that you're not seeing elsewhere.
I'm on his Wikipedia now. Said that one time his father held a gun at him while he was having a Vietnam flashback.
I don't doubt
his dad was in Vietnam too. Yeah.
Oh, that's rough. And then the parents divorced, and he grew up in Echo Park in Los Angeles. Oh. And it says he still remains close to and financially supports both of his parents.
See, I think, you know, Shia LaBeouf's been through a lot, but I think he's got the acting talent of someone like, you know, the Brad Pitts and stuff. He's just got this natural talent for acting, and that's what I enjoy. I enjoy seeing actors like that, that, you know, have that natural talent.
And this is, you know, this is the other thing, though, too, and I kind of appreciate that. He wrote this, so there were things he could have left out.
Yeah.
But he left in his own kind of arrogant attitude of,
yeah,
you just don't know how freaking good I am at what I do.
Like when he was talking to the, not only the police officer, but when he was talking to the shrink or his, exactly. And he's like, you know who I am. I mean, he put the mirror up to himself.
And I mean, he could have chose to leave that out, but you know, why would, I think it's not just that he's a good actor. He's a good storyteller, because why would you leave that out? It really needed to be in the story. And
yeah,
he was brave enough to leave it in, you know? What else have we got? Show notes. Okay. Well, let's start with Timmy Failure. So this is a D+. I thought it was going to be a series. I thought it wasn't a series. It was just a movie, and a rather short movie at that. Hour and a half, not hour and 40 minutes, maybe. So Timmy Failure is I want to say 8 or 10 year old kid who runs his own detective agency. since it's a Disney movie, he's, you know, living with his single mom, and he has a pet polar bear, which I was having trouble figuring out from the previews if it was a real pet polar bear, if it was just part of his imagination. But I think it's pretty evident for the first few minutes of the show, it's just his imagination, and he has a wild imagination. It's definitely a show for someone who's probably of the second or third grade persuasion. And it tries to be just a little too cute to be cute.
So, that's Disney.
Yeah, I had hopes for it to be, you know, something interesting. I don't think they'll make any more of those. It was flat. It was, the jokes were tired, and, you know, it's like there's like one scene where he's storming out of somebody's room and walks into the closet, and of course the guy's standing there, and he's like, well, that's the closet, and you hear him say, I know that. Well, yeah, okay, how many times has that been done where somebody storms out of the room into a closet? It's but you know, when you're in second grade, I guess, you know, that's a new joke for you, so I guess you can reuse those. But I can't recommend it. It was visually pretty good. But story and scripting and even the acting, well, acting wasn't too bad, but I definitely can't recommend that one. Mm-hmm. And then the only thing else I think we've got on our thing is Aladdin. And by Aladdin, I mean the live action Aladdin with Will Smith in it. And I gotta say, if I didn't have D+ and I wasn't looking to kill a couple hours of time, I probably wouldn't have watched it.
Did it have slow-mo to a stop scene and a backstory filled in really rough edits and quick cuts?
No.
Oh. So this is like the first Guy Ritchie movie that doesn't have that.
It's
not his style.
It was very much a live action that was blueprinted by the Robin Williams Aladdin.
But there was singing in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it had all the same musical numbers. Same.
I like that music. Scripts.
The acting was phenomenal, and Will Smith can still carry a goddamn tune. It was great. I enjoyed it.
Will Smith. I'm hoping Mulan doesn't have all the musical numbers.
I don't remember that.
That's their bread and butter. It's their bread and butter.
I mean, it's just like we went and saw Beauty and the Beast, and there was no musical numbers in the commercial for it, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we went to the theater and saw it, and I was like, oh, holy crap. It's got all the music in it. That's what I hate about Disney movies. Ah!
It has to have the music. It's the Disney formula.
Yeah, but
make money on the movie.
But the live action ones could actually be done with more story and telling, and you know, it's. I think that would be better.
Well, the stunt work on it was really good. I really enjoyed some of the chase scenes, you know, through the city where, you know, Aladdin's running from the guards or whatever.
Do you have a monkey?
Recommend this movie if you enjoyed. The cartoon with Robin Williams in it. You won't be disappointed in this one.
Does he have his monkey?
Yep, there's Apu.
And then just the day after you watched it, they come out with reports that there's going to be Aladdin 2 has been greenlit. Bringing Will Smith back.
I'm not hating on that. He makes a good genie. Yeah.
Doesn't he look weird, though? I mean, in the commercials, he looked really weird.
You know, I kind of got used to it real quick. I don't know why. Because he's all blue, you know? Well, he's blue for most of it.
Okay.
I hear there were issues in Smurf Village, you know, Blueface and all this stuff. Oh. They were really angry about it.
Ha, ha, ha. It just looked unnatural. And I know it's not supposed to be natural, but it was just a weird.
Well, I'll tell you what, Will Smith is not built like that. I'll tell you, because you know his genie self is, you know, more 1970s, 1980s Arnold Schwarzenegger, and less, you know, 2020 Will Smith. But yeah, it's if you got D plus and you're looking to kill a couple hours, it was a 2-hour movie, so if you're looking to kill a couple hours and you don't mind the music and you didn't mind the cartoon, you'll probably enjoy that.
Okay, I haven't watched it.
The musical numbers were really good.
Okay, well, is it the original music, right?
Huh? Yeah, it's all the same songs, just. Different voices.
You know. Okay. I remember I liked the music.
It was, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
What would you watch this week, Jason? I mean, other than Honey Boy, that was it? That was your...
I watched Twins last night.
The old Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
That was a good movie. I remember that.
That was fun.
I've been revisiting Malcolm in the Middle.
I loved that show. Mm-hmm. I watched that.
Oh, I watched a movie called... Let me see what it was called. Beyond the Sky. It's on Amazon Prime. It's an alien abduction movie.
I love that kind of stuff.
You remember the daughter in Eureka?
Yeah.
She's in that. And then one of the kids that was in Desperate Housewives all growing up in it, he reminds me of Brad Pitt in it. He's a pretty good actor too. It's like a low budget one, but it was an interesting flick.
I'm gonna have to look at that.
That was another one that I'm on the fence with, but I probably won't finish it.
What's that?
There's I think it's Netflix, Ragnarok.
Oh yeah.
I saw that. I put it on my list.
It's kind of like Riverdale with Norse gods, except yeah, it's kind of modern day. What if after Ragnarok the gods weren't destroyed? They just kind of live amongst us in this small Norwegian town.
That's kind of like an old thought. Neil Gaiman did that with American Gods, and in a sense. They did that with Marvel because Thor and Valkyrie went to Norway. Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Thor and what I'm supposing is Loki, his brother, don't really know that they're Thor and Loki. There's other gods. They've moved back to this small town in Norway, and he's just discovering that he can do things like throw a hammer half a kilometer, and he's somehow really strong, and now his vision's really good, and he can sense storms coming. I enjoyed the first episode somewhat, but I was a little ticked off that they killed one of my favorite characters.
I hate it when they do that. It's like, come on.
Yeah, and and that's the thing, is everything's kind of hinging off of her character at this point. It's like, why did you kill her off? And the only thing I can think is, you know what? She's not dead. She's going to come back
because
she's
hope
probably
so.
One of the gods.
For your sake, I hope she comes back.
I'm still trying to figure out who's which god. Like, there's one character who he knows he's a god, and he is I don't know if he's doing a sacrifice or what he's doing, but he basically gets out of his car, strips down naked in the snow, and he's running around the countryside killing reindeer, just snapping their necks because, you know, he's a badass.
Well, no one's sacrificing for him. He's got to get it himself.
Yeah, the whole running around the countryside butt naked, you know, snapping the necks of deers. Don't know. I don't know. Whatever.
Seems unnecessary to me.
And he's a horrendous father. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh.
Horrendous. Horrendous.
So are his children like what, demigods? Like half gods?
His wife, I'm thinking, is like the god of beauty, whoever that might have been.
Was that that same as the goddess of love? Although that was Greek. What I'm thinking of was Greek.
Yeah, you got Greek, Roman, and Norse, and they're all, yeah. But so I'm thinking she's like the goddess of beauty or love or whatever. She's like a supermodel. The dad is I haven't figured out who he is. I don't know who he is. And then the two children are like chips off of the mom and the dad. They're just, you know, super handsome, super hot, and just jerk faces.
I don't know much about Norwegian gods. I know Odin, Thor, and Loki, and that's really it.
Well, Odin, I think, is the old man. You see him in like one of the very first scenes. He's like an old man. He's got an eye patch, and I was like, oh, that's got to be Odin. Okay. And then the old lady that says the cryptic things at the store, I think she's Hela.
Okay.
But other than that, I haven't figured out who anybody else is or which particular Norse story this is telling, but I don't
know.
Now,
Wikipedia.
I'll probably watch another episode or two, and if it doesn't pick up, I'm just going to kick it to the curb.
Okay. Wikipedia says Freya is a goddess of war, death, love, sex, beauty, fertility, gold, and something else.
Yeah, she's got it all. Yeah.
She got it all. One goddess to fit them all. And she was Odin's wife, I think. Okay.
Yeah, that would make the dad Odin, and I don't want him to be. I mean, he's like the bad guy in the show. Awful dad. Odin wasn't a great dad. I gotta admit, Odin wasn't a good dad.
Well,
you know what? That might make sense though, because they're alluding that the dad had some thing going on with the Thor kid's mom at some point when they were younger. So
he might be like Zeus. Zeus was with everybody. Zeus was all over the place. Zeus kind of seemed like a dick too.
Well, you know, the Greeks. They can.
I know. It's just out for, you know.
Ancient Greece, you know, we all shared.
Oh, hedonist. Hedonist. I saw Birds of Prey.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
It was really bad.
No, I liked it.
Really?
Everybody hates on it. I liked it. I love Margot Robbie. I think she's great.
think she deserves better.
Well, story good? Yeah, I liked it. Ewan McGregor plays a a bar owner, mafia. Well, not really mafia. He was really more like low time criminal boss. Kind of weird, a little bit. Hoodlum. Well, he was an organized crime boss.
Oh, okay.
It was organized crime and, you know, club owner. That's what I was trying to say. Club owner, that kind of thing. Very weird. He had his own thing. He was had a mask and he was his own villain. And Black Canary worked as a singer for him because she had a great set of lungs. But then she didn't like the way he was treating other women. And so she kind of went behind his back and sabotaged him. And she was hanging out with Harley Quinn. And then Huntress was there. And she was cool. I liked her. I liked it. You know, I'm not saying it was the best movie ever, but...
Was it? I just from the initial things I've seen, is it a girl power flick? Or is it...
Oh, yeah, this is what I was thinking. Jason, you would hate this. All of the men were bad. Every single man was bad.
I didn't want to see it from there was nothing that made me want to see it from the previews, but I watched the Critical Drinkers review of it today. I was like, okay, yeah, this is just one of those. It's one of those where it's like, hey, it's girl power, but it's not girl power because we had stories that had like Ripley and Sarah Connor that was girl power. Yeah. Stories that say, hey, this is girl power, but isn't girl power, but it sort of fakes it. It's just like, you know, to have girl power doesn't mean to be anti-man.
That's the thing about the Critical Drinker, though.
Well, he's right. He's 100% right. And
well, I'm not going to say he's right or he's wrong, but like I've seen several of his reviews. He either loves it or he hates it, and I haven't seen any reviews where he's kind of like middle ground. So if he doesn't like it, he completely trashes it.
Yeah,
and it's just like, and that's funny. I mean, it works for his channel, but I think some of the movies he's trashed, I don't think really deserve that much.
Well, the problem with it, this is it's after it failed at the box office because it did fail. After it failed, they came out and said that it was the white male's fault, but the majority of people that went to it were white male.
Yeah.
The girls didn't show up for it, really.
But
the majority of women just said, we're not going to go see this. We don't have any interest in it.
Well, I mean, I think she's a draw for men because she's super hot and she acts kind of like a walking baby doll. Well,
that's the other thing. They said that they toned down the hot factor of all the characters. And there was another review on YouTube and the girl was like, I don't know if it's me. I want to see pretty people on the screen. I want to see Henry Cavill on the screen. So I get it why guys would pass it up or people would pass it up. You have to have something to look at. I mean, come on.
I mean, they took down the sexualization of the other characters. Huntress, she's not sexy at all. She wears a hood. She's pissed because she comes from a very troubled background and she has a reason she wants vengeance. And Rosie Perez. She plays the cop and she's like utilitarian. She's, you know, they don't sex her up at all. She's just like, she wants to get things done. She wants justice. She's very much the straight arrow character. And then there is a kid who kind of tags along with Harley Quinn. She's cute. They obviously don't sexualize her. Until the very end, she does get all dolled up like Harley, but it's cute, you know, because she's a kid.
Like, most of the reviews I saw all said the same thing. I mean, to have good characterization, you have to show some flaws. Mm-hmm. And Margot Robbie's character mm-hmm. never changes, never advances, never evolves through the whole thing. So it's like, you know, it's as far as a, you know, characterization and story, it's getting slammed, and I think rightfully so. But I mean, for people that just want to go see explosions and stuff.
Yeah, pure action flick. Yeah.
Pure action flick. I mean, from a comic book point of view, it's not Birds of Prey at all.
Yeah, no.
It's Gotham City Sirens. Mm-hmm. Birds of Prey is led by Batwoman, not Harley Quinn. So they kind of, right off the bat, they kind of screwed it up with comic fans. So,
well, but hey, in their defense, we already know there are multiple worlds, because in the crossover event, we saw Ezra Miller's Flash. So we already know that. It's a totally different
Earth. I don't know. I see Warner Brothers movies just, I mean, look, we got the reveal of the suit for the Batman, which is not my Batman.
Not my Batman.
The collar, and he's all skinny like, and it's like a leather hood that looks pieced together. It just, it looked bad. It looked like Vladman.
Big no from me. I don't think I'll see
it. I have no interest in it.
They didn't ask me who I wanted. I would have gave him something better than Robert Pattinson. Pattinson, whatever his name is.
I wonder if Batman will shimmer.
God, I hope not. He'll brood and he'll date Kristen Stewart.
Shiny Batman.
Oh, God, I hope not. Oh,
I don't know. I just don't. I don't. I'm not really a fan of the way DC's doing their movies now. Mm-hmm. Like, I was on board for Justice League and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I hope Wonder Woman's going to be good.
I'm excited for Wonder Woman 1984. I loved, what I forgot when we did our top 10 movies for the decade? I totally mm-hmm. forgot about Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman would be in my top probably five.
That was a good movie.
Maybe my top three,
That was a good movie.
Totally forgot about that. Yeah. Wonder Woman is the exception to the rule that DC movies usually suck.